Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, April 23rd. We're back from a not long regular weekend, ordinary weekend, yeah. But was it good for you?
There was a lot of drama for me this weekend.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I did see some crying video on
Instagram. Yeah, I was shit-faced,
right?
When I took that.
Really?
Yeah, I was so drunk.
Is it supposed to be up there or should we take it down?
No, I'm leaving it up there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't really hear what you said because I always watch my phone when the sound is
off. I do the same thing.
But so I saw you like with tears and misty eyes and I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Well, it was my 1 year on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I wanted to have a good night.
All right, so you started like going back and reevaluating everything?
I went to a day party and then the guy I used to date was there. So I was like, oh God, it's time for the tequila and it was open bar. So I just took like four shots in 1942. It was mistake number one.
Oh my God.
And then I was with my roommate has a boyfriend now, but she has a friend that I've been hanging out with because we feel like we're third wheeling.
Right.
So I don't really know her, but I've been hanging out with her. And when I'm drunk, I start to like notice things about people that I don't like. And I started noticing shit about her that I don't like. And we came toe to toe.
So what's gonna happen there?
I don't know. I just unfollowed her on Instagram.
And really?
Said, see ya. Yeah. You know what it is? She invited me to the party with some guy that she's been talking to. He picked us up in his Rolls Royce. Not impressed. Don't care which car you drive.
Right.
And 5 minutes into the car ride, this is when I was sober, I could tell he was a douche dick.
Yeah.
So I was texting her. I was like, I'm keeping my mouth shut out of respect for you, but I do not like this guy. So we go to the party, and after liquor got involved, he became even more of a douchebag. And I'm like, oh my God, I just can't deal. So he was going to take us to Bodega Louie after the party. And if you're going to feed both of us and yourself, it's going to be like a $500 dinner.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he takes a bottle of 1942. And when we're in the elevator, I go, can we get that bottle of 1942 for our apartment? Because we had plans. Like, we were going out that night. And if you're driving a Rolls Royce and you're taking us out to eat, a bottle of 1942 is not a big deal.
Right.
So he looks at me and goes, go to the convenience store and get your own fucking bottle of 1942.
Really?
So I start laughing. I go, bitch, do you think I'm going out to eat with this motherfucker? Because I'm not.
Mm.
I'm not sitting across. I don't care if I'm starving. I'm not sitting across from a table with him.
Yeah.
So we ended up beefing. We went home separately, and she's upset because she wanted to go out and get in his Rolls Royce and get treated to dinner. I'm like, how could you even be attracted to a dude like that?
Right, right.
I just realized she's just not somebody I want to be fucking with.
No, that's LA, you know. People are looking for self-interest, and that's about it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's unfortunate. There's people that are not like that, but still, you know, it's just like, so I can understand. So you started having a shitty weekend, and then...
Yeah, I just went home and I was crying because I was like, this is my 1 year. I realized I have like no real friends out here. I have like no one to actually celebrate this moment with. So I was like upset about it. And then I woke up in the morning and I was fine.
Good, good.
You know, you dyed your hair.
Shut up. I always do. It just got a little darker yesterday.
Yeah, I was looking. I was like, your hair looks
give
darker.
Give it a couple days.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It doesn't everybody, look bad. I just could tell.
No, everybody colors the fucking hair, man. I'm good with it. I'm good with it. If it's not
it
that.
It looks good. It looks dark.
It's white hair, you know. Yeah. I don't like white hair, so.
I think white hair is cool.
Yeah, a lot of people do, but I don't, mm-hmm. you know. So, so my weekend was, I was going to go to that book fair. Never happened because my daughter didn't show up and a whole thing, right? So I missed out on that. I did go to see a little concert with Wilson Phillips and I had a blast.
Yeah. Oh,
They're very cool.
Yeah. Who gave you tickets to that again? I guess, right?
Ethan. No, Ethan. Lota's husband.
Okay. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And the thing is that you go, you have tickets. It says, wow, good seats, all this stuff. You go there. He says, general admission is standing room only.
Oh.
I said, are you shitting me? What is this? Mm. You know? So we had to stand in that club. But So, you know, when we had dinner first and all that stuff, because I told him, I said, how am I supposed to drink or eat here?
Right.
Standing up.
In the crowd, yeah, in the mosh pit.
Yeah. So it doesn't happen.
So are you a little sad that you're not in Hawaii today?
Yes, I am sad I'm not in Hawaii, but there you go. You know, I mean, the thing is, it wasn't meant to be.
No, it wasn't.
The weather was terrible, so I had to cancel the trip, you know? Yeah. For those of you just joining us, thank you for joining us today. We're also on Facebook on the LA Talk Radio page, and you can see us Facebook Live. We also have a couple of guests we're going to bring on right now. And they were on the air together last night at 8.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, reintroduce Max Tucci. Welcome to the show, Max.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
And Max is a host and has been a host here, in fact, almost longer than I have. I don't know if that's possible, but he was a host before we started the station.
Right. 10 years. Max and Friends will be 10 years in May.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And this guy's, you'll learn, is an awesome, awesome man. He's got a great soul. You're very spiritual, always.
Thank
all these
you.
Posts and
so
stuff.
Sorry, I'm wearing sunglasses. I know you're looking. I'm like, I don't do the mornings. And now Facebook Live, you throw shit to me. I'm like, I can't. This. But how you doing, Sam? I'll take them off.
See, Max is beautiful with or without sunglasses.
I'm so glad you're wearing a hat with me.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I get a lot of shit for wearing a New York Yankees hat in L.A. But, you know, I kind of do the California sweatshirt and the New York duality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can love.
Are you even
coasts.
A New York fan? Or are you just?
I am. I was born and
it.
Raised in New York.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, so I'm a total New Yorker.
Okay.
But
yeah.
LA is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but know? He belongs to the world. He
That's
lives
right.
everywhere.
Right.
This
right.
guy.
I'm global.
Yeah.
I'm internationally known. But yeah, no, it was great. And last night we had a great Max and Friends, as you know, you
yes.
were here in the studio.
And you had our other guest
our
as
other
your
guest.
Guest.
Was my
so
guest.
Go ahead and introduce her to us.
Well, okay. So last night, like I said, let me take my sunglasses off to look at you.
Thank you.
This is a woman here. For all of you on Facebook Live who's mm-hmm. seeing this woman right here, a powerhouse, a law changer, an author, motivator. You're inspirational. I mean, there's so many adjectives that
wow.
I can say about you. Changes the laws to protect children, to protect women, to protect men who've been sexually abused. And it's like now more than ever with the hashtag MeToo's and a hashtag Enough and all of that. Sherry's amazing woman who's actually changed the law, who's in the force right now of changing the law, who's in the flow of changing the law to really support and advocate for those who have been sexually abused and PTSD because you went through it. And I saw, just to give a backstory for those of you who didn't tune into Max and Friends last night, Sherry's going to be on next Sunday as well. But last night I was saying I watched Criminal Investigation Channel. And there was a story, a show called Twist of Fate. And all of a sudden I'm watching and I see this reenactment of this woman who's like cross-examining this man on the bench, on the seat. And he had allegedly molested his daughter, who's a three-year-old girl. And this attorney was like, motherfucker, I could see right through you.
Right.
Right? Really? And she kept hounding. She's going to tell the story. But what got me the most was all of a sudden, you just see her lunging the bench, grabbing this guy by the neck. I'm like, that's my kind of people. So here you were on my show last night. And here you are today. So.
Yeah, Sherry Carney. Welcome to the show.
Sherry Carney.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
It's so good to see you all again.
Yes, I know. And we saw each other less than 24 hours ago.
I know. And, I already missed you guys.
Exactly. We already liked her and everything, so we invited her back on the show today.
Yeah.
And because she's got some stories like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into that, Sherry, are you originally in L.A., in Angeleno?
Or I'm in Angeleno.
In?
I
really?
Was born in Hollywood, California.
Wow, not
Los
many
Angeles,
of those, right?
Not many
yeah,
of
there really isn't. I don't think I've met someone in a long time that's actually from here.
Is that right? I mean, grew up, in, you know, born in Culver City, California,
uh-huh.
beyond the MGM studio lot, and then moved to Laurel Canyon.
Oh, wow. Very. That's a very good place to live in Laurel Canyon.
It's an interesting place to live.
It
I'm
is.
Really, very
What's
interesting
about
it? Well, you know, at the time it was like the hinterland.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of isolating for a kid. A lot of creative people. Like I would wake up and one of the opera singers who was married to the guy that wrote Exodus.
Uh-huh.
And she would do her scales out in the canyons and it was bounce against the
go.
Walls. And it was kind of inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you hear this.
Like how early?
Early.
I'm like,
she was
wait,
the
hold
rooster
on.
Of the
it was early. And then Steve McQueen lived up there, so he would come pick my brother up, do wheelies while my mother chased him outside with her, you know, Italian sort of spoon, although we're not Italian. Right? And he would basically look at her and say, "Oh, fungal," and screech out of there, right?
I call it the Gypsy Circus. Laurel Canyon gypsy is the Gypsy Circus. That's really cool.
Houdini's Mansion.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was just everything.
Jim Morrison. Homegirl, what's her name, at the Laurel Canyon Market.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm talking about.
A lot of people have lived there.
Laurel Canyon is like where I drive through in the morning,
exactly.
Right?
It's there's a history in Laurel Canyon a lot of people don't know about.
Where the hell is there a market?
Right there. It's right at Kirkwood in Laurel Canyon.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's
you get
right there.
Wait, it kind of looks like a restaurant?
There is a restaurant underneath.
Pizza place.
Okay, that's
but the market on top, you know, just for those who like think that LA doesn't have history or America in general, that market's been here since like the 1920s.
Really?
And every celebrity has gone there. And there's books written about it. It's in so many movies that you wouldn't even know.
Oh, really?
Check it out. It's totally cool.
I always pass that little pizza shop. And I wonder why it's always busy.
Downstairs.
Yeah, and I always wonder why it's always busy, because there's like nowhere to park, and then
they have valet. And why is it busy? Because it's off the beaten track. You know, and also people can go there without like being stalked and paparazzied and popped and blah, blah, blah. So it's very good.
Right.
We're giving it up here on LA Talk Radio.
That's it.
Don't go. It's horrible.
But I would imagine, being from LA, you probably got to travel quite a bit in your life.
Yes, I've traveled a lot.
Really?
Yes.
Out of the country as well?
Thailand, Africa.
Do you have any favorite places that you've been?
You know, every place is favorite because I go with my sweetheart and we have an amazing time. But we went to Africa.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I find out later that the reason I'm sitting in the front of the Jeep is because the lion has just made a kill, so you can smell rotten meat on his breath. And I'm sitting in the front, so that if he eats somebody, he eats me first. Oh, right? God. I thought it was like, oh,
what
you're going to have a great thing. I want my lady to be in the front seat.
Right.
He's like, hell no. You know, this animal, if he's going to attack, he's going to go to the front seat first. And you've got a big booty, and he's going to just feast on that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I always see videos. You're talking about a safari, right?
We were in the bush for 3 weeks, yes.
What do you mean?
What country were you
in? Wait, hold on.
That's what they call it.
That's what they call it.
We were in Kenya, East Africa.
So you were just like out with the animals in general.
And also my husband's an animal whisperer, and they call him the naturist and the prophet. So he went out on animal whispering adventures.
Oh my God, I love it. I feel like I'm an animal whisperer.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
I mean, you should talk to the animal whisperer, the real guy too, because they were whispering to him. Me, I thought they were ready to eat me. Right? But him, he was hearing them whisper. I'm going to eat her. She's the one I want first.
I think that's amazing.
That American attorney.
Yeah, exactly. Until they find out she's a lawyer, then they're like,
we're going to change that, you know. What's a good day, 100 lawyers, you know, buried under the ocean.
Right.
We're going to change that to what's a good safari.
Right. But then the lion read her story and was like, this one jumps the bench.
This one passed. I'm scared of this one.
Whoa. So for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Sherry Carney. You can follow us at sherrycarney.com. And that's your website there. And we're going to, in a minute, start getting into the meat of all this. So tell us a little bit about, you're an attorney. How did you become an attorney? When? You know, what kind of law were you attracted to in the beginning?
I always wanted to do something with law to make a difference. That was really important to me. But I didn't see my path clearly. Mm. So I tried a little bit of everything. Mm. I tried Title VII, EEOC, discrimination against women, people of color, did that. Got sexually harassed as an intern, got sexually assaulted in law school by a law school professor.
Oh, my God.
What?
The first week of law school. Of course, I never said a word, ever. I just breaking silence in the last 6 months.
Oh, my
God.
Are you
serious?
I'm serious. I mean, my second week of law school.
Yeah.
And I'm now sure I wasn't the only victim.
Right, right.
The reason I don't mention his name is he's a very successful, powerful person now.
Right. Mm. So why would you not mention the name because of that?
Yeah, you should bring him
She's
down.
She's a lawyer.
I guess. Well,
she
it would bring
why.
Her. Yeah, it would bring
her. I'm a
her
lawyer
into,
and I know
is
why.
Is he still a professor?
It would bring you into the spotlight.
No, he is on the bench.
Mm. Oh, he's a
Need
judge
I
now.
Need I say more?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, he's on the bench. So I don't want to. And one of my first cases, he was the judge.
Oh, God.
But the truth that's crushing the ground always rises, right?
Right.
I feel like sometimes.
It does.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying hopefully. Right. I don't know if it does all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Sam on that one. I don't know if it does all the time. Yeah, I feel like some people are like evil and get away with evil for their entire lives. And they're like, wow, live a good life too.
I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so too. I think that perpetrators get off scot-free and their victims live a lifelong sentence. That's my personal feeling. And I do think that there probably is some justice. Hopefully we bring it to humans on Earth.
Right.
But I, you know, people ask me all the time about forgiveness. I think that's the number one question I'm asked. Can you forgive? And my answer is, first we forgive ourselves. This is really about anyone that's been victimized in any way, whether it's racial discrimination, age discrimination, sexual assault, unequal pay, sexual harassment on the workplace, child sexual abuse. And we need to forgive ourselves first because it wasn't our fault. We were a victim. We didn't invite it. We didn't enjoy it. We didn't want it.
Right.
First, you forgive yourself. Then I have lunch with a rabbi friend of mine who says, wait a minute. Here's how forgiveness works in Judaism. And she says in Judaism, there's four steps to forgiveness. First of all, the perpetrator or the wrongdoer has to ask you to forgive them.
Right.
Has to say to you, please forgive me. Then they have to give you a real apology. Not an apology that's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, I was young at the time, I didn't know better, but a real apology.
Right.
Then after that, they have to promise never to do it again. And in fact, never do it again. And then they have to try to make restitution, to do something for you to help you recover from their wrongdoing.
Right.
And if none of that, and they ask you, if they ask you three times and agree to these four steps and you don't agree to that, then it's on you.
Right.
Okay, yeah, but that would but never work.
I mean, that how many people would actually do this?
I don't.
So, but that's why in Judaism, they make things difficult.
The antiquated formula of forgiveness.
They do.
Antiquated. It's the antiquated rules of forgiveness.
Do you know how
it's
hard it is to become a Jew? They make it very hard.
Well, it was. Ivanka Trump became one.
Ivanka.
She totally became one. It's not that difficult. You just have to pay the rabbi and
depends where.
It's Yom Kippur. Who's in the front row? That's what matters, Sam. It's all about the money. That's how easy it is. Come on.
In the synagogue, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yom Kippur is the front row.
When I see the front row at like Yom Kippur or any Passover, I'm like, those are the ones that I'm hitting up for like, to get money for organizations.
Right.
You see, he knows what side the bread is.
But that forgiveness list, that would never like happen, I think.
What happened to face it, erase it, replace it? Like, just the simple fact of face it, move on, and I'm forgiving
you. I think you can move on. I think
you've moved on.
You know what, though? I carry the tattoo like everybody else.
Okay.
Right.
I moved on, but I always carry the tattoo. This is something you can't laser off, you can't forgive, and you can't forget over.
Okay.
You have to understand, and you have to honor it. And in my case, I understand it made me who I am today.
Right.
It gave me the fire. It led me to my destiny and my gift.
Right.
That's
right.
The truth of it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I am grateful in a certain respect that it let me help break silence and change the world for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then every survivor, we have to get out and do something for someone else. It's the only way to heal.
Right.
There is no magic bullet. There but you is did no something. Erase it.
You did something for the entire state of California. She did. She changed the law.
I did change the law in California with my law partner. Mm-hmm. But this is what I honestly feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't do enough because every day I see Me Too, Time's Up. Every day survivors come to me and say, I'm being sexually harassed at work. I've been sexually assaulted. I've been date raped. I've been assaulted on a college campus. 25% of all girls are sexually abused on college campus within their first year of school.
Jeez.
And 16% of boys.
Wow.
That shocked me.
So that's like a dangerous environment to be in for a lot of people, for women.
Life is a dangerous environment for women to be in.
Right.
Because almost every woman you talk to, and you're young, and I'd love for you to jump in.
Yeah.
But everyone's either been sexually harassed, date raped, had a sexual encounter. Look at Stormy Daniels.
Right.
Stormy Daniels, who had a one-time sexual encounter with the President of the United States with POTUS. And she said she didn't want to do it. He was old. She wasn't attracted to him. She had gotten herself in too far and didn't think she could say no.
I see. I don't know if I would compare her situation to possibly your situation. Because right now I'm looking at her like, yeah, you went through something, but you're also looking for a payday. So there's a difference.
You know what? It's not even about that. I agree with you. But the point is, even she, it was consensual.
Right,
but
right.
She really felt she had gone too far and she couldn't say no. How many women out there are on a date,
right,
are in a situation, in a Rolls Royce,
I agree. Yeah.
You know, looking
yeah.
at 1942 and mm-hmm. thinking, can I really say no?
Right.
I don't want to sleep with this guy. He isn't interesting to me.
Yeah.
I kind of think I got him to a point mm-hmm. where I can no longer say no.
Right.
But what does that mean? You know, I mean, the thing is, so where does that leave the man? I mean, you know, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Good question, because we cannot do this without you.
Right.
Because you men, you're the ones in power. You're the ones that can make change. Every time I go on a dating site where I hear it on the radio or people talk to me, they always say, we're looking for women that are kind. We're looking for women that are fun. Mm-hmm. We're looking for women that trust. You're not going to find a kind, fun, trusting woman who's been sexually assaulted, sexually harassed, sexually abused as a child. Mm-hmm. If you want us to be the women and men you want,
right,
you need to treat us like somebody who's going to grow up and love you one day,
right,
and be
yeah.
your wife,
exactly,
be the mother of your
they
children.
They need to treat women like their mother, their sister.
But
you know,
some
where
people don't have a mother or sister, so it's like, what
so
do you what
they
do,
don't
you
know
do
what
with those
like.
Guys?
I have a
treat
question.
Them like a human
people
being.
Don't
like
have
I have a
mother.
Question
come
for
on.
You. Going back,
there's
people don't have a mother.
There's some people
you
don't
have a mother.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
people are abandoned.
They're not. Yeah, they're not. They don't have a relationship with their mother.
No, I know, but theoretically, you would say I would not. You know, I would want to treat somebody like I would treat a mother.
Yeah, but have you ever heard this phrase, daddy issues? Like, for instance, right.
There's
mama
issues too.
Exactly. There's some dudes out there that legitimately have mommy issues. They have no respect for women. They hate women because they hate their mother.
Right. Listen, the show Empire. Cookie went to jail for 17 years. They didn't have a mother growing up.
Right.
They hate her.
Right.
But my question to you, Sherry, is when is it at that point where a woman and a man are in bed, she doesn't feel like, nah, I don't want to go through with this. They start, she initiates, she does go through with it. But then, like, in the middle of it, all of a sudden, it's like, I don't want this. No, stop.
Right. It's like maybe she
then
changes
he needs to
her
stop.
Mind.
But I'm not saying he needs to stop. My point is, then the man gets prosecuted and
that's
is like,
exactly
you got
the question
you
I was asking.
Oh, right,
you see
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, I don't. No, no. So
that happens.
I mean, you're saying she's initiating. I don't know any women who initiate.
Oh, I can give you a list.
All right. So when you say she initiates, what do you mean?
Meaning they get naked, they get in bed, they start,
and
then all of a sudden
it,
it's like, I don't want this anymore. No, stop.
You know, here's the technicality. Here's the law, but it's not necessarily. I think there's a lot of gray.
Right.
I think there's a lot of gray. The law says,
especially when people are naked
and
aroused
and
everything.
If you're at the point when you're naked and you're engaged, and then suddenly Jesus comes to you and says, the Pope comes to you and says, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Technically, under the law, no means no.
I understand that.
When you say stop, you got to stop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In real life and with humans, I think it's gray. I think that's why a lot of women follow through if they don't want to. My worry is she's on college. She's had a little bit too much to drink.
Right.
He's had too much to drink. They start to engage, and she starts to sober up and realizes, I don't want this.
Right. Which happens, I feel like, on a regular basis.
And I think that's fine. I think it would be a crime if somebody told you no and you'd continue.
I'll tell you, Sam,
if nothing else, it's just that I wouldn't enjoy it anymore. If she told me why would I even go on?
You know? That's not every guy, though.
Why are these guys going on when the woman says no?
There's some guys that'll say, she started it, and I thought her saying no was just... like, you know,
like part of it.
Yeah,
no,
like
this
some
is all,
like
this is
sexy role play.
And
like,
here's the problem. Sometimes no doesn't mean no.
Yeah.
Women are taught. He won't respect you if you don't sort of say no and then say a little bit of no and then say a little less of no.
Just to throw something in, two weekends ago, I came home to my apartment and my roommate was having sex with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And what I could hear from a standpoint was her saying, no, stop. But that which would sound like rape from a distance, but she was saying like no stop in like a sexy way because he was going down on her. So like, it could be played in two different ways.
This is the uncomfortable conversation that I think America doesn't have that needs to be addressed, because there are so many 50 Shades of Grey where it's like, no, we need to all come together and understand. There needs to be a dictionary to the word no.
I agree.
I'm sorry to say. It's broader than just no.
But I think, though, that we should really go on the idea that no does mean no.
I agree with you.
And that if there's a shade of grey, it's got to be much clearer grey and more white.
And understand it.
Absolutely. And plus, I mean, I don't want to be one of those lawyers who says, oh, well, maybe the no meant yes.
Right.
That's not where I'm coming from. Right. But I certainly understand the nuance of it. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right, Sam. Mm-hmm. This is something we have to talk about. And with
That's Max, by the way.
Max, sorry.
And, Sam in the morning.
Don't get me before 8 o'clock, right? Thank you.
Sorry, go ahead.
I get it. But it's because, you know, for instance, their story, you know, I've been doing this show for 10 years, and I get all kinds of people. We do, when Tamara was on, we had sex shows all the time. There was an incident where this guy was having sex with this girl one time, then again she wanted it the second time in the same night, then the third time she wanted it, and then the third time she's like, I'm uncomfortable. Then the next morning, though, they stopped, and and this is after they've already, like, you know, had climax and everything. Then the third time in the morning, she's like, that was so great, let's do it again. A year later, she tells her friends, he raped me.
Oh, I hope he has those texts.
Well, listen, as you know, how often do you change your cell phone?
Yeah, but
I get it. But, you know, these are things that you don't think are going to come out of the closet.
But you know what? Here's the truth of it, all of you. These are the gray areas. Mm-hmm. What we're really talking about are all the areas that aren't gray.
That's right. Exactly.
The clear sexual assault, the clear sexual harassment. The gray areas, I agree with you, and it is a conversation we need to have. Right. But men really need to help on this. Right. You need to say to your sons, you know, don't treat women like that.
Right.
You
right.
need to treat your daughters with respect. Mm-hmm. They need to see that women, we live in a rape culture.
Mm-hmm.
The United States is a rape culture.
I don't think it's just the United States.
No. I think it's everywhere.
There's countries that are worse. India, look at India.
But I've been in Europe. I've been in Italy. I've been in France. They weren't so aggressive toward women.
Yeah.
You could walk on the street. Yeah,
in Italy, they whistle and slap your ass.
I know, but they
do that at the nightclub now, too. Yeah. Like, you can't even go out without
balls and stuff.
Coachella, have you seen this, everybody?
Yeah.
So many women said they were touched, patted, felt up at Coachella.
Really?
That Coachella,
they call it Hochella.
Hochella. And, and someone that works with Beyonce said that a guy came up to her. She was working with models. He said, you know, you're not pretty enough to be a model. Let's go in the bathroom and I want to have you. And she said no. And he wouldn't stop.
Wow.
Okay, I would have called the cops.
She tried to get security. It was so crowded. It was so crazy. He didn't rape her.
Yeah.
But it's only because she fought him off. Coachella is terrible. Nightclubs,
I didn't go. Nightclubs are bad too. And those are a small, confined space.
And I've had women come to me who, in the middle of a rave, were raped. And people were cheering and going on, and no one understood.
Let me ask you a question. This is happening. It's a fact.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what are the steps for what's next, or what's now, as you say?
Right.
Like, when it happens, then what does one do? Because shame is a huge issue. Why people don't come out and say
I would
this.
Never be
men
ashamed.
And women.
Yeah.
Men and
but
women.
I'm a different breed, but
so
I feel like a
do?
Lot of women would be embarrassed.
And even if you're not ashamed, there has to be law to support you.
Yeah.
And there has to be a system in place.
Right.
Right now, the system's not in place.
There you go.
It's a quagmire. Police don't believe you. Campus police don't do anything. The courts are bottled up.
Yeah.
We need to have a universal civil rights law that says we have freedom to our body.
That's right.
Body safety, not to be touched, because the law sets the base, culture sets the ceiling.
Right.
So if we don't have a simple, clean rule of law that we all can agree on, similar to the civil rights movement for race, color, gender, then we are not going to have clarity. Yes, there's going to be gray. Yes, there's going to be situations where we're going to go, not so sure.
Right.
That's up to lawyers to vet their cases correctly and not take stuff that's not right.
Right.
Well, Rosa Parks said you're doing this is a civil rights movement.
I met Rosa Parks.
Yeah, but I want to, again, like, you know, I think always, you know, when I do my show, I always try to give people somewhat answers. So, you know, we kind of segued into another topic. But if you have gone through this, what is the first step you can do? If someone's sitting there listening right now saying, holy shit, I was raped, what do I do?
The first step is you have to tell. You have to break silence. So it depends where it is. Mm-hmm. If it's in a college campus, mm-hmm. they're going to kill me. Don't go to campus police. Go to local police.
There you
campus
go.
Police work for the university.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to protect the university at all costs.
Protect the university at all costs.
They're not objective. Yeah.
They're not objective. And what they're going to do, similar to Sandusky.
Sweep it under the rug.
Penn State, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. where he was sexually assaulting mm-hmm. children for 25 years.
It's disgusting.
And they
yeah.
saw it.
So they'll
and they
cover
knew
up, huh?
We'll cover up.
Right. Campuses, 25 years.
How do you yeah, live with yeah. yourself?
Well,
they're having no problem living with themselves.
What a great Monday morning.
Right. Good morning.
We're just cheering you up from a long weekend.
Yeah, one is go to the local police.
So one is go to the local police. It, you have to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to make sure that after the sexual assault, you get a rape kit. You go to medical professionals.
Okay, but what if this is a woman that's now listening to it and it was 6 months ago? And she did, in fact, get raped, but she doesn't have the panties or anything
here's
left.
The good news. I just consulted with the California Women's Law Center mm-hmm. and Senator Connie Levia, and we passed a bill in California that eliminated the statute of limitations completely for rape, sexual assault, and continuous child mm-hmm. sexual abuse.
Right.
Even if it's 6 months ago, you can still prosecute.
Right.
You need to prosecute. I'm sure you told friends.
Right.
I'm sure you texted. Whatever happens, tell friends. Tell family.
Mm-hmm.
Speak, right. speak, tell,
bring it
tell.
To the surface, because I guess it's the criminal's best defense is that
silence.
Silence, right?
Right.
Nobody says anything.
Silence and shame.
Right.
And even if you don't have physical evidence, you can have where you told a roommate,
right.
I was raped last night. You call your mother. Something terrible happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure you were in the same time and place
right.
that you can prove when it happened. Take notes.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a journal. And here's my other thing. I think take pictures. Turn your phone on. Every time you have either recorded information or physical proof or photographs,
right.
everything helps you. I tell children, keep your phone on, put your video on, tape it,
yeah.
tape the phone conversations. Your phones can be your best evidence.
Yeah, but what about like rapes, like in Law and Order SVU, if someone's just like leaving the gym and walking through Central Park and then someone comes up from behind with a mask on and there's literally like nothing you can tell the police?
They leave DNA.
Yeah, hopefully, if
they
he's not a sociopath.
They leave DNA. There is some hair fiber. There's something. Go to the police.
Immediately. Yeah.
Don't be ashamed. Don't take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
Call a friend and get to the police station and get a rape kit. Now, there's a whole other thing on rape kits. Rachel Evan Wood was testifying in Congress last week mm-hmm. on rape kits.
Mm-hmm.
They throw out 200,000 rape kits a year without testing them.
I never even
really?
Heard of them.
You never heard of a rape
no.
kit?
No.
Really?
They
I'm
test like
you.
Underwear for DNA.
And they do.
Have you heard of a rape kit?
Yes.
Have you?
Pubic.
Yeah, yeah. I
pubic.
Also heard that they haven't tested them or done anything.
They haven't
with them.
Tested them.
So why do they do it then?
Because this is in Congress. They're passing legislation right mm-hmm. now to make sure rape kits are tested. And here's the other glitch on rape kits. There was a question as to who was going to pay for them. Insurance wouldn't cover them at the time.
That's
and
insanity.
They were expensive. They're
yeah.
$800 to $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm just saying everything. Think Monica Lewinsky. Think saving
the dress.
Right.
Think saving evidence. Not hiding it. Not flushing it down the toilet. Even if you don't feel the time you want to do anything, save the evidence for later. You can always throw it out.
Right.
Wait, and let me ask you a question. Why is it $800 to $1,000, and why isn't it free?
These rape kits are
a fortune.
I don't
know. This is like ridiculous.
Because I don't think it's available to the public. I think you're supposed to go to
a
clinic
hospital.
And do
you have to go to the hospital.
You can go to CVS and get a 23andMe kit for $49.
And
right,
you can't get a rape kit.
And you can't get a rape kit.
And you're right. You're right,
this
Max.
Is ridiculous.
And what about if we pass legislation where there's federally subsidized rape kits?
Right.
So that you can get them at CVS.
Right.
Why don't we have that? Because people that are empowered don't want women
That's
and people
why.
To have it.
That's
I
why.
Honestly don't think that rape kits should be at CVS, because honestly, as much as rape happens on a regular basis, there's also like some Glen Close crazy girls that could frame somebody potentially if they do it at home.
But we deny everybody their rights because we're worried about the fringe crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let good lawyers, mm-hmm. let good judges vet those cases. It's like saying we don't want to have birth We don't want to have pregnancy testing kits.
Right. And no plan B.
Because there could be women that are going to trick a guy and say the test was positive.
Right.
There'll
right.
always be those people.
Right.
But
right.
why aren't we making these kits available? Which gets me to another idea. I'm in the process of developing an app that would allow survivors to immediately push a button
Great
that
idea.
Says good touch, bad touch. What that would do is keep data that puts the victim at the same time and place as the perpetrator
wow.
so
mm-hmm.
that when you go to try the case, you have evidence.
Exactly.
So,
that's good. Yeah.
So if you're at a party, so if you're at a party and you put bad
CSI
touch,
LA.
Your phone will know your location?
Yeah.
But then how will it know the perpetrator's location?
Because what we'll do if we do good touch, bad touch is it notifies a family member, a friend, grandma, your uncle, your sister, your roommate, and it'll be GPS. And then if we accuse someone, we can prove where they are.
Like, narrow it down.
Mm-hmm. Because in all the Catholic Church cases, right. the big problem, once we changed the statute of limitations and they did window legislation, was putting these victims at the same time and place
as a perpetrator.
As a perpetrator. And they would say, I wasn't there.
Right.
I was somewhere else. And we would use newspaper articles and, you know, little local
like,
papers.
All kinds of alibis.
Why do
stuff.
That?
Yeah,
all
yeah.
kinds of. Let me tell yeah. you, perpetrators are smart. They're picking younger and younger children. Because they're less likely to get caught.
Right.
We don't have to worry about them. They have all the rights right now. We have to protect victims. And again, Sam, we're back to, we want women that are whole and loving and trusting and enjoy the full benefits of life, including sex.
Right. This, who wants women that are hurt around them, you know?
And like, all the women around you and you and me and you are wounded and hurt.
Yeah.
By the time we reach a certain age, there's zero chance we haven't experienced sexual assault, sexual abuse, sexual harassment,
right.
and some form of sexual disrespect.
Let's just jump
zero
in for
chance.
The men's, because there's also a percentage of men, too.
There's a lot
and
of men.
And men don't say anything.
And
yeah.
particularly
Ever.
In the LGBT. Q community, LBGQ community,
LBGTQ, right?
Right. And in, on college campuses, if you are bisexual, your chance of being sexually assaulted are 75%.
That's insanity.
Double of
from both sides.
That's it, Sam. Well, that's it.
But why don't
both
men
sides.
Say anything?
Because there's
it's
shame.
A pride thing, probably. Like, I'm not gonna say I got raped. What man on this planet gets raped?
Yeah, but
like,
then
it's kind
30
of like,
years later, like with you, you're surfaced in court.
Complete repression of memory. Men don't say it because we have a culture that says if you're a guy,
you should be able to defend
ready,
yourself. Yeah,
willing and able to have sex, no matter whether it's a 45-year-old teacher and you're 13, you should want
That's
it
disgusting,
if you're a
by
real
the way.
Man. And you should have been able to protect yourself. Really, you're 7 years old, and it's Coach Sandusky.
Right.
You're going to protect yourself from being raped in the shower.
By a grown-ass man.
Penn State.
Right.
By a grown-ass man.
Right.
Really, you're not.
No.
Right.
And so we need to change our thinking, and the law needs to support us.
You know, we just, I'm trying to think of, like, what a kid goes through when this stuff
happens. Yeah,
you know?
I don't know.
And it's like you're with that adult, and you don't know you don't understand what's going on. You're like, well, maybe this is okay. You know?
Yeah.
And you trust them. And then, you know, and then you're like, and then you realize, that's why I'm saying some kids or even maybe grown people don't realize they're being abused until later, right?
I didn't realize it, Sam. Mm-hmm. I didn't. It was normal for me. With my father, it happened so young. But I didn't believe it didn't happen everywhere.
What was your childhood like? Tell us a little bit about your childhood. We don't have that much time left, but what was your childhood like? Do you have siblings?
I do have siblings.
Okay.
I have siblings. And originally in 1950, whatever, we were family of the year in Culver City, California. We looked perfect. We sounded perfect.
Which usually means you're not.
Which usually means we're not.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Behind closed doors, it's a mess.
Behind closed doors, it's a
Leave it to
hell
Beaver.
Of a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, if a family looks too good, they are too good.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't see anything, it's not good. Mm-hmm. That perfect family sitting in the front row of the church or at Yom Kippur, watch out.
Right,
because that is anything. So we seem perfect, and behind closed doors, my mother was burning me with cigarettes.
Oh, my God.
My mother was giving me enemas and tying me to the chair. I mean, it was...
What's an enema?
What's an enema?
Mm-hmm.
Where you will you, can you, can me. Somebody, somebody? Yeah, yeah.
It's basically it's a douche like, for your butt.
A douche for
a
your
douche
butt.
A douche for your butt. That's true. That's exactly
oh,
what
like
it is.
You shove, like you shove it up there?
Like you, right. And you yeah. put, like you fill water and, you know, sometimes in the, you know, before it used to be that it was a cleansing thing. And
right.
It was supposed to help you heal from all kinds of woes.
Right,
you know,
right.
Whatever. But it's, it, for me, it was a form of torture.
Right.
Really? My mother so she did it to you. So she did it to you to punish you? Or what
you
was
know,
the point there?
I think to just relieve herself of from whatever pain. Was going on with uh-huh. her. I
right.
don't think she was punishing me because, honestly, at 4 years old, how much wrong could I have done?
Yeah. Right, but what does the animal represent,
the house
though?
Down or, you know, take a shot.
You're just acting like a normal four-year-old.
Right,
yeah,
and so,
yeah.
you know, she would play opera music and go into this, like, crazy torture mode uh-huh. from, you know, this horrible thing. And so then she got a job and worked nights, and my father stayed home. He's a writer. And he would write. And stop writing, and then molest me.
Oh, my God.
And then go back to writing. Could I go to my mother? Of course not.
How old were you at the time?
I was between, like, 6 months old and 4 years old. And so I repressed memory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. So,
and then I grew up and got raped by a family friend.
Member. And it's often somebody you know, right?
6 out of 10 cases of sexual assault, abuse, child abuse, is someone the child knows, close to the family.
Is that person in jail now?
Of course not. None of these people are in jail.
The case that she's famous for, the guy's not in jail.
No.
For the 3-year-old girl, the one that she lunged him at and got him by the neck and went to jail for.
They're never in jail.
He's not in jail.
Oh, man.
No, I mean, and the younger the child, the more repression and the more opportunity to get off scot-free.
Right.
Right. So what you're saying, so that's why that app and this whole idea of telling
of roar
is
as
important.
One.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be because if we all come together, form the civil rights movement and say, look it, we have a human and civil right to be free.
Right.
Of our body not being touched, of body
right.
safety.
Right.
We have a right to not be sexually assaulted, sexually abused, harassed. We have a constitutional and civil right. Once we recognize that and the law gets passed and we get a civil right, then we have the power of the FBI, the power of the U.S. attorney, the power of the legal system to come out and do its best.
Right.
So right now the system lets these people get through without really paying for
the system's
for their,
broken, Sam.
Yeah,
the system
I mean,
is broken.
When you realize how many kids are like abused or exposed to all this stuff, you know, the sex trafficking, which we've heard guests here before and stuff, you know.
1 in 3 girls, 1 in 5 boys will be sexually assaulted before their 18th birthday. As we've just spoken this last 98 seconds, an American has been sexually assaulted right now, right here.
That's my biggest fear.
So let me ask you this.
Planet.
What do you think this has to do with, I mean, if it's so prevalent around everywhere, really, you know, some places more than others. But do you think the men are... what was the question? God damn it. Now I forgot what I wanted to ask
I
you.
I think what you're hearing
but, oh, is it primal? I mean, is it something that's like in our genes that men pursue the females like that?
You know, I've thought about this so much. I'm not an anthropologist.
Right.
I'm not a psychologist. My feeling is there's something primal about it,
right?
But I'm not sure what it is.
Well,
society does is it
but
helps
the primal,
us against
I
our
think.
Primal instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Our primal instincts are to do a lot of things,
right? That they're not acceptable
but
by society.
But our race also lets us flip the switch. When you have, like, when you know who you are, mm-hmm. when you're authentic to who you are, when you have grace and peace in your life, you're not going out there raping people.
Yeah.
So it's not like all men are like that.
No, yeah.
All
you
know? Men are not
like
no.
So let's
but
just,
no,
it's
but that's
up
the
to
point.
You men
right.
yeah.
just to help us and
to
stop other men and to rally. We can't do it without you. She and I cannot do
mm-hmm.
it without you.
Right, right.
We need you in an office to say to another guy, knock it off.
Right, do
women
rape men? I know it's. I have the answer in my head.
Sometimes
but
I think.
You.
Well,
I
here's,
think sometimes.
Here's what's mm-hmm. been trending on Facebook lately: mm-hmm. are the school teachers mm-hmm. having sex with 13-year-old boys?
Yeah.
There's been story after
right.
story after story.
So many lately.
So many, and it's
yeah.
getting no coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
yes, they do.
Yeah.
Right.
And boys are wounded too.
Yeah.
Right.
My second client, mm-hmm. adult survivor client, was a male.
Mm-hmm.
And what his mother did, she didn't rape him. She walked around in sexy lingerie and was very seductive and was very sexual.
Right.
And so one time his girlfriend bought sexy lingerie for his birthday and walked around in it, and he had a meltdown. He had a psychotic break because he had a flashback. Mm-hmm. Wow. He went through PTSD.
Right. And, kids are not used to these images, to these things, mm-hmm. right? They can't handle them.
Adults can't handle them. And think, all right, so we have Gwyneth Paltrow. We have Reese Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. We have Kate Beckinsale. We have all these women celebrities. We have Uma Thurman saying she can barely talk about it. Mm-hmm. They have platforms. They have money. They have access. They can't deal with it. Now bring in a six-year-old.
Right, right. And that's the thing. And you know what? Another thing I was thinking about is sometimes you can be abused by someone about your age or a year or two more. And I don't think we look at that. We look at adults abusing kids. But what about other kids abusing kids? Ooh, you know?
I bet you it happens
more than even with adults.
You have no idea.
Because they have access to
and
each other.
And there's hormones and kids are changing.
And confused and they're like trying to explore. But when do you cross the line?
There's a lot more boys that are assaulted. Nobody knows.
Boys will be boys and they're children.
Yeah. Right.
My rape was by an adult child.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
5 years older than me.
Okay. Oh, wow.
But he was still young.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
I was
I'd be plotting his death.
That's right. But the point is...
Literally. How am I going to kill you? That's literally what I would be thinking in like a dark room for the rest
Except
of my life.
Except the problem is you go to jail and they don't.
I know. That's there the crazy part.
That is the crazy part.
And then you don't even get like a time off for a crime of passion like because there's no... They're going to be like, where's the proof?
Talk to women that have been victims of domestic violence and then kill their husband. I want to address your question, Sam.
Jeez.
Because this is the great unspoken secret, is the sibling sexual assault and sexual abuse, the cousins.
Right.
I mean, it's the one where adults don't expect an older child to be aggressively sexual toward a younger child.
Right.
It happens on a daily basis. And the people that have been coming up to me lately said, I was sexually abused by my cousin. Yeah. I was sexually assaulted by my brother. They're talking about child upon child sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you do in those cases? In my case, my mother said, I just thought he was beating you. Beating me?
Yeah, that's still terrible.
I mean, he's 6-7 years older and he's just beating me?
Right.
Really? You let a 13-year-old...
Yeah, but that was her reality because she beat you too.
Right, so it's like, he's just beating you. He's just doing what I did.
Right.
You're right. Yeah. But the point is, when you have children, you need to really look at whether something is going on.
Right.
You can't assume
but you
kids
can't
will be
know.
Kids.
You can't know. You know, I mean, the thing is, if
you
the kid's not going to say anything, what are you going to do?
You go to
your kid
know.
And
I feel like you can tell when your kid, if you love your child and it's not an abusive situation, he's getting abused by an outside source. I think as a mother or even as an aunt, I would be able to tell if Marcellus was something was going on with him. I'd literally look at Gabby and be like, who's
dying
today?
But what if they don't realize they're really being abused? You know what I'm saying? Because I can imagine
really
kids.
Being abused?
What I mean is two kids are doing this. The kid might feel, you know, I feel guilty about doing this and stuff.
If you ever have to
I'm
feel
not
guilty,
gonna tell anybody.
Then you shouldn't be doing it.
No, but maybe he's enjoying it. I don't know.
Right, but here's the thing.
What I'm saying. You don't know.
Do you have a dog, Sam?
No. But go ahead. I have kids, though.
No, I have two.
Okay, and if somebody...
no dogs.
No dogs.
If it needs to be fed, watered, or walked out of
water.
Forget
it, right. If your dog was kicked by a neighbor, or your dog looks like something's wrong,
someone's
would you be
dying.
Able to tell?
Someone's getting killed.
Could you tell?
No, I would be able to tell.
Yeah,
110%.
But what if the dog didn't know it was being
kicked?
No,
listen.
No, if you come from a loving environment, and you know that's not normal behavior, your behavior changes.
Yeah, but the dog will go back to the neighbor.
No, but
no.
We're not talking about dogs. We're not talking about dogs. I'm saying if your dog has been kicked, you can tell something's wrong.
Right.
A little attitude, eyes
adjusting.
Down, a little freaky.
A little, like, skittish. Like, I adopted a dog. My second dog's adopted. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, certain times where, like, if you touch her a certain way, she freaks out.
Exactly.
It's because something obviously traumatic happened to her in her life.
And so you can't tell me that if you have a kid... You can't tell.
Right.
Something's off.
Mm-hmm.
Something's different. Open your eyes and say.
Yeah.
Open the lines of communication.
Right.
What's going on?
Before
you can talk to me.
So,
I won't judge you.
But what if the kid doesn't let on? I don't think it's like a dog, you know? I mean,
I think it is like a dog.
Kids are good at hiding things, though.
No, I think kids aren't good at hiding things.
I think kids aren't good at hiding things.
Okay, so we'll agree to
disagree.
But I do think that if you see a change in behavior, where an outgoing child suddenly is quiet and withdrawn.
Like even at school, like if the kid starts acting out, teachers could be like, maybe there's something going on. going on at home, like with the parents. Like maybe the parents are fighting because his behavior went from 0 to 60 in a month and a half.
I guarantee you they're showing some behavior that you don't want
to
look
at. Right, right. Like when my sister broke up with her baby daddy and he had to adjust to him being gone and it was just my sister, his behavior changed.
Right.
He totally like melted down, like all the time was having like, he was like acting out, lashing out, like hitting Gabby. Yeah, so you could tell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can I jump in real quick? Because I know time is limited and I want to be the rainbow in the shitstorm right now. I do. I want you all to go right now to Twitter and follow Sherry's page, which is Roar as the number one, R-O-A-R as one. Together we rise, and this is something that I know as a group, as a unit, as just human beings, if we all get together, you change the law with you and a partner, and a law partner. That's two people. So if we all get together, we can change things, right?
Right. Absolutely. And I really need people to fund Roar as one.
Right.
Send $5. Send a dollar.
Right.
I need them to participate with us. We need lawyers for test cases.
Right.
We need people to help us draft constitutional language. We need people in the streets marching with us. We need everybody.
Right.
Right. Right.
And you're all part of it. And you are right. Rise as one.
Together we rise.
Together we rise.
You can go to SherryCarney.com also. And find out all the information. How do you spell your name for people?
It's S-H-A-R-I-K-A-R-N-E-Y. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Just look it up and you'll find a website. And I also see you have logos of all the places you've been. You better add LA Talk Radio on there too now.
She'll be back Sunday on my show. They're coming back because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like we just didn't have enough time.
There's never, never enough time when change is happening.
Right.
There's never enough airtime.
Right.
Yeah, never.
That's what I've learned.
Because I still have so many questions, too, and we have
you've 1 minute
left.
Yeah, you've given us a lot. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you for having us.
Happy Monday.
Right.
Happy Monday. Have a great day.
Yeah, you guys know where to find her, and I think this is very relevant, very important, and you've imparted some great information for the listeners. Max, tell people how they can find you
real quick. Go to Twitter, at Max Tucci, and join me every Sunday night on Max and Friends. 10 years in May.
There you go. He must be doing something right.
And I'll be 30 in May.
Woo, happy birthday.
Yeah.
And I'm Sherry's the reason. Listen, again, the reason why I bring guests like Sherry on the show is because you're not alone. This has happened to so many people, but Sherry's a pure example of how you can pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and try again.
Right.
And healing others heals yourself.
Right.
Acting for others, you act for yourself.
Right.
Acting together, we act for everybody.
Right.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
That's a good end.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for watching. Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
See everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.